Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome once again to Chatham Community Church. My name is Jaime. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm glad to see y'all here this morning as we have, I think, now fully turned the corner and begun full-on winter. So no more fake-out winters, no more two more weeks of fall. We may get a fake-out spring at some point because this is North Carolina. But I think the time for coats and chapped skin has arrived. At least it has arrived in my household. Hey, if you happen to be a guest today, welcome. So glad you're here this morning. I'd love to get a chance to say hi to you at the end of the service. I'm going to be just outside the exit doors. I'd love to hear your name and a little bit about how you found us and what your experience was like this morning. And if you're relatively new to our community, I want to invite you to something we're hosting next week. Every once in a while, we host these gatherings called Starting Points. They are brief gatherings that we host after each service. We have two services here, so right after this one and then right after the second one. We host these gatherings called Starting Point. It's an opportunity for folks who are relatively new to our community to meet other people who are relatively new to our community, hear a little bit more about what we're about here in Chatham Community Church, and spend some time with some people who've been around a little bit longer and ask any questions you may have. So as you're considering whether this might be a place that you want to invest in or be part of during your time in Chatham County, we invite you to join us there next week. No RSVP is required. Just come next week and show up, and we'd be glad to have you. And like I always say, we keep it brief. It's guaranteed to be brief after the first service because we have a second service that we need to start. And it's guaranteed to be brief after the second service because I don't have breakfast on Sunday mornings and I get hungry. So I promise you it'll be brief, but it'll be well worth your time. Back in my days in New York, I knew a woman who was a bookkeeper for a nonprofit. She was a little older, and she was what you'd imagine a bookkeeper to be. She was very straight-laced, very by the book, a rule follower, very organized and careful. Like I said, it's what you'd imagine a stereotypical bookkeeper to be like, a stereotypical bookkeeping grandma to be like. One day I'm talking to her, and she tells me she has just returned from a vacation, a family vacation. Her and her husband took the kids and the grandkids on a big family vacation trip. It was one of those milestones. I can't remember if it was a meaningful birthday or a meaningful anniversary, but they all went, and she tells me that they went to Hawaii. Now, I'm imagining this bookkeeping grandma relaxing on a beach, sipping some nice, refreshing drinks, away from the hustle and bustle of New York, maybe doing some exploring and some museums. And as I'm imagining that, I catch her saying, "Oh, and I jumped out of a plane." She went skydiving. It caught me completely off guard. Not only that, it was her idea to go skydiving. Most of her family bailed on her. They would not go with her. It was so unexpected that I kind of lost track of the conversation for a little bit as I was just trying to square away my image of this straight-laced bookkeeping grandma with jumping out of a plane. I don't know how you calculate that in the roles. I don't know that you can make that work. I never even heard her talk about skydiving. I never even heard her talk about anything remotely dangerous. Like I said, straight-laced bookkeeping grandma. But something about being in a different, unusual setting for a particular season in unlikely circumstance led this unlikely person to this out-of-the-ordinary experience. Here's the thing. I can't remember anything else she told me about that trip to Hawaii. Nothing else. But I will never forget the story of the New York bookkeeping grandma who jumped out of a plane in Hawaii. There's just something about out-of-the-ordinary stories from unlikely people in unexpected places that sticks with you. You can't help but lean in. You can't help but pay attention. You can't help but remember. The Christmas story has many instances that are like that. Out-of-the-ordinary things happening to unlikely people in unexpected places. But that's also true of some of our Christmas carols and the stories behind them. During this month, our messages here at Chatham Community Church are being given under the theme, Songs of the Soul. Many of the Christmas carols that not only we sing each year, but are sung all through our community each year, are not just beloved and beautiful, they are full of rich meaning. The songs of Christmas connect with some of the deepest longings of the human soul, And Christmas promises to meet those longings in the gift of Jesus. So for the next month at least, be aware that more people are thinking about and singing about Jesus than likely at any other time in the year. And that provides us an opportunity. So what we're going to do here each week is we're going to take a verse or a portion of a popular Christmas carol and we are going to pair it with a passage of scripture that connects with the themes that that song talks about and invites us further into the joy of Christmas as found in Jesus. Today, the carol that we're connecting with is Go Tell It on the Mountain. And don't worry, we're going to sing it before we leave today. And we're pairing it with the passage that Patty read for us in Luke 2, which is actually the story on which the song is based upon. Here are some of the lyrics of Go Tell It on the Mountain. While shepherds kept their watching or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heaven there shone a holy light. Go, tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere, go, tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. This song is so full of joy. It's got a great groove. And there's so much celebration about Jesus. It is catchy. It's been recorded by artists ranging from Peter, Paul, and Mary, for those of you who can remember that far back, to Simon and Garfunkel, to Little Big Town, and even most recently, Maverick City. That is a diverse group of people and artists that connect with this song. But its origins go further back. Its origins date back to the 1800s when it was sung by an unlikely group of people in an unexpected place. See, this song of joy, this song of celebration, this song of enthusiasm is believed to have first been sung by Black Americans enslaved and working in plantations in the South. People experiencing brutal treatment sang about running freely over the hills, over every mountain, and declaring to the world good news that Jesus Christ had been born. How do you sing a song like that in a situation like they were in? Well, there must have been something about the one they were singing about. There must have been something so compelling about the one that they were singing about that it must have given them hope to see beyond the experience they were currently living, to see what God might do and might bring, and they couldn't help but share it. They couldn't help but sing about it. When was the last time that you experienced something so good that regardless of what was going on in your life, you couldn't contain it. You couldn't help but share it. It just burst out of you in maybe hope or joy or goodness or love or freedom. Well, friends, there are so much of all those things and so much more in the Christmas story. So much that can burst out of us during this season. Now, it's not just the song that comes from an unexpected place, an unlikely people. The story of the shepherds is an out-of-the-ordinary story. It's an out-of-the-ordinary story with unlikely people in an unexpected place. We've grown familiar with the idea of shepherds being part of the Christmas story. We've seen it. We even have an image of how many shepherds there were. It usually corresponds to how many kids we could put in costumes of shepherds for the Christmas pageant. We have it in our mind. They fit in our minds. But just because it's familiar doesn't mean it was normal in that time. Doesn't mean it was expected. This is an out-of-the-ordinary encounter that we read about today in Luke's gospel. See, shepherds are not the kinds of people that you'd expect to be entrusted with the message that the Savior had been born. They are not the religious people. They are not the learned people. They are not the important people. These are laborers, and not just laborers, laborers that are so on the outskirts of society, so mistrusted that they couldn't even stand as witnesses in a trial. Their word was that doubted. That's how little they were trusted. That's how little credibility they had. And yet, the angel of the Lord shows up to them. The angel of the Lord shows up to them to give them this experience and entrust them with this message. These unlikely people are not the last to hear. They are some of the first to hear. Some of the first to hear that the Savior has been born. Some of the first to hear that Jesus has come. And this is not happening in the big city. It's not happening in the temple. It's not happening at the center of any sort of community or societal life. It's happening out in the field, not in the place you'd expect a heavenly host to show up and proclaim. If you were to script this, you'd script it so it'd be in a large population, important center, because at the very least, you'll get some important people to hear it. You'll get a crowd, you'll get some momentum, but no. The angels show up here to proclaim the birth of the Savior. The Christmas story highlights this idea that God can and does meet unlikely people in unexpected places and out of the ordinary ways to draw them to himself. God will go to out-of-the-way places and give out-of-the-ordinary experiences to unlikely people in order to draw them to himself. Part of what this communicates to us, part of what resonates in our hearts and in our minds perhaps as we read stories like this, is that if God cares enough about these shepherds on the outskirts of society to make them some of the first to receive such important good news and to entrust them with this message, then he can meet you and I wherever we happen to be, in whatever situation we happen to find ourselves in, no matter what we may think of ourselves, whether high or low. The Christmas story is for everyone. It's not just for the important. It's not just for the learned. It's not just for the highly religious. It doesn't come just in places that are organized and decorated like this. The Christmas place is for every person in every place at every time. And each one of us has been entrusted with the Christmas story to share it with others, just like the shepherds were. Now, some of us may feel like unlikely sorts of people to be entrusted with such important news. Maybe some of us feel undeserving of such a privilege of having God meet us with the Christmas story or entrusting us with such an important message. Some of us may feel unqualified, undeserving, maybe something else. Maybe we feel sidelined or at the margins of life, maybe because of circumstances we've lived in, maybe because of choices we've made. We feel sidelined of such an important task. But God reaches us there because God reaches us everywhere. And anywhere. And God invites us to give us all that is available to us through Jesus. And then he sends us out to share it with others. Let me say that again. God meets us wherever we are and invites us in. He invites us in so that he can give us all that we need. All the hope, all the joy, all the love, all the peace, all the blessing, all the goodness. And then he sends us out that we might share it with others, just like he did with the shepherds. Just like he did with the shepherds. So what exactly is it that happens to the shepherds in the story? Well, let's walk through it slowly. The first thing that stands out to us is they have a particularly meaningful experience. An angel shows up. That is a significant encounter. And God uses meaningful experiences, not for the sake of the spectacle of the meaningful experience, but for the sake of drawing people to himself. And he uses this experience to draw the shepherds to him. It is not an everyday occurrence for angels to show up. And it doesn't happen to everyone or anyone. In fact, it's been years, generations, centuries since there's been a powerful encounter like this one. It is a clear moment of God saying, I am meeting you. You can't write this off as maybe bad legumes that you ate, or maybe a heat stroke in the desert. Something unique is happening here. It is an undeniable moment of God showing up, and it draws them in. It serves its purpose. God uses meaningful experience not just to draw shepherds to himself. God uses meaningful spiritual experiences to draw people like you and me to himself. He does it in this passage through angelic encounters, but he does it in lots of different ways. I remember one time before I was a follower of Jesus, I was gathered with a group of people who were Christians, and they started to pray, and I was sort of seeking these things out and engaging in these things, and I was praying as well. And as we were praying, I felt Like there was a presence, like there was something around me. It felt weighty, it felt heavy, but in a good way. It felt almost like a blanket wrapping over me, a weighted blanket, though those I don't think existed back then. And I remember feeling in that moment an immense sense of peace. I opened my eyes to see what was going on, and it looked ordinary. Everything looked about the same, but I could tell that something different was happening, that something special was going on. I was having a meaningful spiritual experience. That experience marked me. It was part of how God drew me into himself. It was part of how, as I was exploring faith, exploring Christianity, God was saying, I am here. I am calling you to myself. I am drawing you in. It drew me closer to him. Can you remember a meaningful experience that you've had? A meaningful spiritual experience or a moment where you had a sense that God was present, that God was with you, that God was answering prayer. Maybe it was a moment where someone remarked on how peaceful you looked and you realized, oh, this is really kind of a challenging situation and I am feeling this legitimate peace. Can you remember those kinds of situations? What if during this Christmas season you sought God out for one more? For one more for the sake of drawing you closer to him. What if you opened yourself up and asked God for an experience of what you need during this Christmas season? I needed peace in that moment. Maybe peace isn't what you most need right now. Maybe you need joy. Maybe you need freedom. Maybe you need breakthrough in a relationship or in a situation. Maybe you need a fresh filling of love. Maybe you feel like your love tank has run out. And you're running out of that kindness for people because you're low on love. What if you opened yourself up and you said, God, draw me in. Meet me with love. Meet me with peace. Meet me with joy during this Christmas season. The Advent season, the lead up to Christmas. The Christmas season is all about waiting. Waiting in expectancy for God to show up. What if you waited in that way? What if you waited in that way? What if you asked him to meet you? Wherever you happen to be, whether physically or just in life, wherever you happen to be in whatever situation, don't wait to clean your life up. Don't wait to get it right. Don't wait to fix things. Just ask him to meet you where you are because God meets people where they are. In whatever situation, God will meet you. What if you opened yourself up to that kind of experience? Now, the angel doesn't just appear and give them an experience. The angel also communicates a message to them. It is a message of hope. And that message of hope is not just listened to. It doesn't just go in one ear and out the other. It is received by the shepherds. Here is the message that the angel communicates to them. It says, do not be afraid. We talked about not being afraid last week. I encourage you, if you feel like, oh, that's a word for me, go listen to last week's message. There is a good word in there about why we can be free from fear during the Christmas season. The angel says, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. There is good news. Here's the message. Good news that will bring great joy to all people. Who doesn't need to hear some good news today? Who doesn't need to hear some good news? Who doesn't have an area in their life where they could just use some experience of just something good, a good word here about this? Who would say no to great joy? Nobody. And as we look at our fractured world, the need for something that can bring about good for all people is probably stronger, if not as strong today, as it was all those years ago in that Middle Eastern countryside. How often do we hear something that is legitimately good for all people, regardless of age, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of socioeconomic status, regardless of country of origin, regardless of language that they speak, regardless of level of intelligence? How often is there something that is good for all people? This is an amazing message. This is an amazing message. What is bringing all this, this good news that will bring great joy to all people, is that the Savior has been born. That Jesus has come. And in him, all those things, good news, great joy, lots of love, grace, peace, hope, mercy, forgiveness, healing. In him, all those things are fulfilled. All those things are available, not just to some. They're available to all. That is part of the good news of the Christmas story. Today, all of us can hear this message. All of us can receive this message. All of us can treasure the hope of this message. Where do you need hope today? Where do you need this message of hope to strike at the core of your soul? Where do you need a refreshing word today? Because the Christmas story has that hope for you. That hope is found in Jesus. Today, let's be like the shepherds. Let's receive the word of hope. Let's receive the word of hope. Friends, whatever situation you're in where you're feeling like your hope is low, it's not the end. There is more. I say this often, but I'll say it again. Evil doesn't get the final word in your story. Loss doesn't get the final word in your story. Disappointment doesn't get the final word in your story. Pain doesn't get the final word in your story. Sickness doesn't get the final word in your story. Death doesn't get the final word in your story. Betrayal doesn't get the final word in your story. None of those things get the final word in your story. We all experience those things. We all do. But none of us need to settle for a life that is primarily defined by those things. There is more. There is more. There is goodness, blessing, joy, peace, and all of that is everlasting. All of that is everlasting, and those will be the loudest notes in the songs of our life for all of eternity. That's the message of hope, friends, that there are better things that will be the loudest notes in the song of your life. The shepherds have heard the word of hope, and they have received it. Today, hear the word of hope and receive it. Give yourself to that hope. Let it fill you. The shepherds have had this meaningful spiritual experience. They've received the word of hope, and it would be fine to end the story just here, right? I mean, they can go back to being shepherds the rest of their evening, right? No, they can't. They can't, and they don't stop there. They leave where they're at, and they go to Bethlehem because they have to meet the one that they've heard about. They don't stop at the spiritual experience. They go and seek out and encounter Jesus. Friends, there are some of us here who've had powerful spiritual experience, and we've grown content with going from powerful spiritual experience or meaningful spiritual experience to meaningful spiritual experience. There is more. Those spiritual experiences are good and they won't run out, but there is something better. It is to meet and encounter the source of those spiritual experiences, to meet and encounter Jesus. God will use spiritual experiences to draw us in. But there's always a message of hope, but it doesn't end there. They aren't an end in and of themselves. They are an invitation to encounter the source. In the context of the Christmas story, in this story, the source is the child that is born in the manger, the child who will live, who will grow up loving God and loving people like no one else had been able to, the child who will die, who will grow up and die to heal all the brokenness in our world, the child who will grow up and rise from the dead to defeat death and sin and open up the way for us to live life in all of its fullness for all time. For all time. That is the one we get to encounter. That is the one we get to meet. That is the one to whom we are drawn in. That is the one to whom the messages of hope points to. That is the one for whom the spiritual experiences guide us to. What if, for the next 16 days, you spent time seeking out this one? What if, for the next 16 days until Christmas Eve, you spent time every day seeking out and encountering Jesus? How, you may ask? Well, here's one way you can do it. Read the stories of Jesus in the scriptures. Pick one of the four accounts of Jesus' life and read through it for the next 16 days. How many chapters you need to read each day will vary by book, so I'm not going to tell you the pace, but go ahead. Get as far as you can. If you only read one chapter a day, that's still 16 chapters of the stories of Jesus, where you can meet him every day, encounter him every day. If you are not a follower of Jesus in these 16 days, perhaps you may experience Jesus' invitation to follow him, to surrender your life to him. When that time comes, give yourself to that. Give yourself to that. We've been praying for salvation to come. We're praying for that for you. If you are a follower of Jesus, you can still encounter him afresh and anew. Look for the ways he's inviting you to follow him more deeply and more fully during this Christmas season and beyond. A few weeks ago, Hannah and I got to go on a cruise for a vacation. And if you've ever been on a cruise, many of these cruises have performances during the night, at nighttime. They have shows that they put on. And each night, there was some sort of show on this cruise, whether it was a musical or a play or something else. And one night in the main theater, we went to see a comedian slash illusionist. This guy was super funny. He was great at the comedy part. We laughed so hard and so much. But it was the tricks that he did that were amazing. Now, I know that there's a method to how these people do these things. I know that there are things that they prepare. I know that there are ways that they get things done. It is a craft. It is a craft. And he was transparent about that. In fact, he showed us how to do a few things, some sleight of hand things. It was pretty cool. But he demonstrated some that even with all that I know about how illusionists do these things, I just couldn't figure out. My jaw was to the floor sometimes. And afterwards, I couldn't stop talking about it. We had folks who were with us who missed one of the shows they did. And I just kept telling them. I couldn't explain it, but I just had to tell them what I saw. Because I so wanted them to be able to experience it even if they couldn't make it there. There are some experiences that you just can't help but talk about. Because you want people to know about what you went through. You want them to have the opportunity to experience it too. And the last part of the shepherd's story is an example of that. See, they've had the experience. They've heard the message. They've met Jesus. And now they go back to shepherding, right? No. They can't. The text tells us that they go and spread the word concerning what had been told to them about Jesus and what they had seen. They told whoever they encountered on the way as they left Jesus, they told them that the Savior had been born, that the angel had shown up, that they had met this Jesus. They understood how amazing it was. They understood how significant this was. How could they not share it? How could they not want as many people as possible to know about this? They talked about what they'd seen, what they'd heard, and what they'd lived. See, on the other side of spiritual experiences, on the other side of words of hope, on the other side of encounters with Jesus, there's a next step, and that's share what you've seen, what you've heard, and what you'd lived. Now remember, shepherds aren't considered credible enough to be able to bear witness at trials. They are not educated. They can't explain the theological intricacies of the birth of Jesus. But they can talk about what they've seen. They can talk about what they've heard. They can talk about what they've lived. And they do. And people respond. The text tells us that people are amazed at what they hear. Folks, I know it can be hard to talk to people about God. It can be hard to talk to people about Jesus. It can be awkward. We may be afraid that we won't have that answer to that question and we'll look foolish, or we'll make God look foolish. We may be afraid that we'll say the wrong thing and we will mess them up forever. And it'll be our fault that they don't know Jesus. Maybe we think they won't be interested and we won't, and that will bother them. So we might as well not. We might as well not harm the relationship. I understand all those fears because I have all those fears. I have them. Here's the thing. God loves them too much to let you carry that much weight for the eternal destiny of their souls. God loves them too much to let you be the person who is responsible for whether or not they come to Jesus. Let me just promise you, you will encounter questions you won't be able to answer. God knows that. And God still calls us to share. And God will take care of it. You will say something awkward at some point. You will say something wrong. God knows that. God still sends us to share. God will take care of that. You will share with someone who is not interested. God knows that. He still invites us to share. There are countless stories of people who will say things like, people told me for years, and I turned them away. And then one day, and for some reason it was different that day. Maybe for your whole life, you will be one of those of whom it is said, yeah, they shared with me and I didn't care. Maybe that will be your lot in life. And still, you will be part of someone's story. You will be part of how someone says, even when I was uninterested, God was pursuing me. God was pursuing me. God was pursuing me. Friends, life with God is the best thing that can happen to someone. And you and I know that because we're experiencing it. It is what we were made for, life with God. It is what God wants for us. You are living it and you are seeing its effect in your life. How can we keep it inside of us? How can we deprive people of the opportunity to, at the very least, hear our attempts at sharing about it, getting a glimpse of what we've lived? God wants them to have the experiences that we're having too. And God has put us in their lives for them to hear about it. They need it. Friends, you don't need to have all the answers. You won't. You don't need to be polished. It's okay. Tell your stories. Share your experiences. Talk about your hope. And then trust that God is at work. God will meet them because God wants to draw them in. Last week, we talked about some Advent prayers. Today, we're going to talk about some Advent responses. Here's how I want to invite you to respond. The first thing is I want you to think of specific people. I know, I'm going to put us on the spot here. Think of specific people that need to experience the good news of Christmas. And then pray for them to experience encounters with God, hear the message of hope, and encounter Jesus. Pray for them. Think of who they are right now. Picture them in your mind. Spend some time this week praying for them. Spend some time through Advent praying for them. And then it may not be to them, but make it a point at some point during this season to share some way that you've lived life with God. Share something about what you've seen, what you've heard, and what you've lived. And if you want an easy way to engage people, you've got these cards. Or an easy entry point to talk about it. You've got these cards on your seats. They are invitations to our Christmas Eve service. This is a great icebreaker to talk about what you've seen and heard. You say, hey, we're having this Christmas service at our church. I'd love for you to come. Here's one reason I'm involved with this church or why I'm going to go to the service. And share something that God has done. You know, hey, this year I was going through a hard time and it really helped me to have the peace of God. I know I'm making it sound easy. I will probably be super nervous when I share that with someone. But just share what you've seen. Share what you've heard. Share what you've lived. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you that there is good news with great joy that brings great joy to all people. First of all, thank you that we've experienced that good news. Thank you that we can live in the joy. Thank you that we are part of the people that you have met. Lord, you trusted people who were untrustworthy with your message. Thank you for trusting us as well. We are imperfect. We don't know all the answers, but we've got some lived experience. Help us talk about it. Help us talk about what you've done in our lives. Lord, oftentimes I filter out the God part of my stories when I'm sharing with people. Lord, help me in this season, especially with my family, not filter out the God part. Help us do the same. Lord, we want people to experience you. We want people to hear your message. We want people to encounter Jesus and come to life. So use us to invite as many as possible this season, that they would hear the word and respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, as you're able, would you stand and join in worship?